It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, the Triarchy, Dem Thrones boys, are back. We are at the midway point of season 3, House of the Dragon. We just watched the 4th episode titled Tumbleton, the little town, which we will discuss quite a bit this episode. It is Keith, Davey, and Shime. And guys, how are we feeling at the halfway point, the all-star break of House of the Dragon?
Fucking tumbleweeds, am I right? Boring as shit this episode.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree. Wasn't a lot of action, I'll give you that, but I feel like there was still a lot of moving around. Shime, where do you
playing chess? At? Yeah.
It's better than season 2, I think, unquestionably, but it is severely cooled off from the hot start it came out of the gates with. That's for sure.
Jesus H. Well, you guys didn't like the first episode as much as I did. And the first episode was a goddamn house of fire, pardon the puns. This episode clearly was a little bit more set up, but I think there was some good stuff in there, including, and by the way, for those that are just tuning in for the first time, this is all spoilers, episode recaps. You can go back, check out all the previous episodes. You can even go back to season 1, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, whatever it might be, to listen to us break down each of these episodes. So it's all spoilers. I apparently love the show. These guys like the show, by all accounts.
No, I like the I love the show. I didn't like this episode.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I'll say, and at the end of this, we'll update our character power rankings. We did our top 6, and we're going to continue to update that throughout the show. And one of the characters that was on the list, he was number 6. It'll be a good discussion to see if he moves up or not. Ormond Hightower, I feel like, is the guy playing the Game of Thrones.
Sure is.
I have a pretty good feeling he probably doesn't win said Game of Thrones. It's almost how I viewed like Littlefinger. I never thought Littlefinger was going to win, but I'm like, this guy he's got a pretty good plan. He's actually going to sit back and wait. He can be like really kind of evil. He can be two-faced, but I think Ormond has been one of the most impressive characters thus far. And this was a really strong episode for him, showing you how manipulative he can be and sort of like what he's cooking up, what is up his sleeve, which the second we saw him, we knew there was something. And now it's fairly clear what Ormond's got going.
And it was very telling with what Allison said about him. Because remember, she was talking about him and she said, Gwen said he was cruel, but I never saw it.
Yeah, good one. And she's like, yeah, but that's Gwen. Like, Gwen thought that about a lot of people. But like, Gwen was right.
Yeah.
And then the one weakness she mentions is his odd sense of smell. And it harkens back to the first time we saw him, where he's like sniffing out of like a little perfume bottle. So like that'll be interesting to see how that kind of gets tied back in later.
How does that get paid off?
I would love, you know what I would love? Like, just on a battlefield, if they could somehow in High Valyrian get a dragon to shit on him or near him.
Yeah, because they've brought it up too many times, and there's even the scene at the beginning of this episode where like he's in the bath, so obviously very clearly like his own hygiene's important.
He's burning incense while he's in the bath.
Yes, there was that other character who was like, get this guy a bath, like he fucking stinks. Yeah. And then she's about to walk away and Allison's like, oh, there is one more thing. So like they've made it very clear that the guy has like a sense, his sense of smell. So it has to come back in like a major way where he is going to be like at the bottom of like a latrine or something. Like he's going to be stuffed. He's going to be doing what Aegon was doing.
Yeah. Wrong time period. But I would love to see Sir Duncan the Tall just blast shit on him.
No, the show is not afraid to go full shit. Yeah, full shits. So yeah, I don't know what they're cooking up there, but it's clearly going to pay off at some point where.
And I hate to tip my hand, but like, I think every scene he was in was some of the best scenes from this episode. All of the stuff with Ormond, he was crushing, and it was, it was the first time like you really felt like, oh, this is, it's very similar to the old Game of Thrones. Like this is the stuff that the little political stuff that we really grew to love. Ormond was the one who is orchestrating a lot of that.
Really good. And we see his whole butt. We do not see hole or see balls.
No dong.
Or dong either. Good point. But we did see two cheeks.
It's got a nice curve to it too. Good for him.
Really nice. And not afraid to show his weenus to everybody involved there. Like that's sort of a power play. That's a power play is what that is.
No doubt.
he got out and was like, take a look at this. He's like, I don't even care.
It's like an old man in a locker room.
Yeah, right. He's having a full conversation with you. He didn't care. He didn't get two shits. Yeah, but he was, yeah, he was, he really brought it. We get the real Darren Targaryen. Mm-hmm. We have not, we thought we saw him. It was the old okie doke last episode. It is the real true Darren with Ormond, with Tessarion, which we brought up briefly last episode, how he almost stole episode 3, the giant dragon looking there when they're taking the kid away. He's like, fucking this guy? He like turns his head, like, you're taking
that
this
ain't
guy.
Him.
You don't have, go ahead, take him. I don't know that guy. But he's in there too. And so you can see Darren is really been raised by Ormond. Like, he knows Ormond more than he knows Alicent, more than he knows anybody else. Even his hair is dark like a Hightower. Like, he has been brought up like a Hightower. The one thing that he doesn't, that's very different than him clearly, is the dragon. And what a crazy scene when Ormond is like breaking down, like, Hightowers are better than, like, he's going full, like, you know, Aryan race here. He's like, we're like the better, we're the better house, we're the perfect house. He's like, oh, they just have dragons, and like, that's fuck, that's fucked up.
And
but like,
call them like savages.
He's, yeah, like, I think target, so. Like, yeah, Targaryen, yeah, are savages. Yep. Yeah. He went full there, but like, clearly Darren's kind of like caught in between, because like, juxtaposed to Alicent talking to Rhaenyra about how like, well, maybe the best thing I did was like send him to the Hightowers. And you're like, lady, you can't fucking win. Like,
no. And she said something to the effect of like, I raised two Targaryens and I didn't want him to be,
yes,
like that. I wanted, yeah, him to be a Hightower. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
You know. It also put into perspective just how small his dragon is, that it was just able to be in that room, yeah, with everybody else. And like, yeah, it's bigger, right, than everybody in the room, but like, right, Vhagar can't fit in a fucking castle.
No, you couldn't get Vhagar's toes in there. Like, there's no way.
What was I gonna say too? But it did, you did see that side of him too when he found out that Gwaine wasn't coming.
Mm.
And he like lost it. He said the C word a lot.
He leaned pretty heavily into the
scene. I thought it was interesting. He took a second and then just like popped the fuck off.
And then he like settled back down. He's like, we have gotten word from your, from, like, my cousin has written, or whatever.
Yeah. Slightly vexed over the letter I just read.
Yeah. He was, we'll get to more of what Ormond did this episode, but he was really strong. All right. Rhaenyra. We talked last week about how her small council was very, very small. In fact, there was like nobody else at the table. It is now a growing small council. She's going to keep the Grand Maester Orwyle around. Keeping that fucking guy around. Let's start there. Is that a good decision?
No. He's either incompetent or he's a Hightower guy. Either way, it's bad for you.
Yeah, it seems like it was just like, we don't, it was like when the Patriots picked Alex Van Pelt and they were just like, nobody else really wants this job. I don't even know where else to turn. So like, you can have it. Like, it's yours.
But it's also like the Master of Coin too. We called that too. That
we called Master of Coin. So he adds Manderly, or she adds Manderly, who, great scene. We'll get to like the big climax scene with Daemon when he tosses the head on the table. Manderly just moves his drink ever so slightly. Really good. Like a bloody head on the table.
Like, oh, slides it away.
Move my wine over here. Thank you. So yeah, so you have Orwyle staying on. You add Manderly. You still have Massaria, the lady, the whispers. Daemon is there when he wants to be. And Alan of Hull, who was also in our top 6 character power rankings for this year. He pretty much got promoted because Corlys is like, I'm not dealing with that shit anymore. Like, why don't you go and be useful? So now Alan of Hull is going to be working more closely with Rhaenyra. That is one that I think is going to pay off.
That's going to pay off. But I also, can I make a bold prediction?
Yeah.
I think Rhaenyra or somebody is going to take out Corlys because now she's, because of the graffiti, right? House of Bastards and like all that.
Queen of Bastards. Yeah.
He kind of started that. Like, that's kind of his fault. Because of that exchange they had the previous episode. So my guess is Daemon or someone's going to be like, you need to get rid of him. Because remember, like, we don't see the Valyrians in, like, from this point forward. And he's technically now, since she didn't name his two sons.
They're not.
He's
they're not.
Last one. Mm. Right?
Yes.
I mean, on that side or that part.
So technically, Daemon's daughters are both Valerion, like they're part Valerion.
But they're, so but like they're Targaryen, they don't have the name.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it Rhaena and Baela?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're technically Targaryens. So he's done after him. So that's probably.
I mean, right now, if you're Rhaenyra, though, like, I think you either have a couple of people on your staff that are like incompetent. You have one in Allen who I think is his strong, but like he's gonna be caught in the middle a little bit. Like she didn't give him the name. His dad obviously feels a certain way about her. And then Daemon and Mysyria just like hate each other. Like whatever one says the other's gonna disagree with. So I don't know. Rhaenyra is kind of up against it. Throwing the fact that some of her dragon riders aren't exactly on the same page.
But I forget Alan fell into that trap though, where people tell you all like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. It's like, well, that's why you need to do it. And he's like, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't belong here. It's like, but that's why you need no.
None of that
else. Suck at this.
Yeah. None of that else.
Yeah.
We get an emotional moment. Aegon. So we hadn't seen Aegon for an episode or two, and now we see Aegon with Lars. Yeah, with Lara Strong, and then comes across Sunfire, and you have those fucking guys in the woods that are charging to touch the dragon.
I mean, that's a good racket.
Not bad.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I found it. It's mine.
Yeah. I'd throw that guy a couple pennies to touch the dragon, I'll be honest. I
think that's two hands. He touched it twice. That's two pennies.
Gonna do it. All right. Now, just a very small part of me, when Aegon went up there and he was like holding on to him, and he's like, he's alive.
I kind of, yeah.
A little bit of me thought we were gonna get an eyeball open. That would have been fucking cool, because also like part of me, we all kind of know how it's going to end. I don't know how it gets there. And so when we were going over it, how like Rhaenyra's side has so many more dragons, you're like, well, that's going to be a pretty lopsided fight. So like in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, maybe they can fucking kick Sunfire back in there, even the odds a little bit, just give them another dragon. And that would have been cool because those guys were such shitheads. So if he just like hopped on there and they just like torched all those guys, that would have been sick. But
that would have been
pretty sick. Alas, I think Sunfire is for sure dead. Yeah. So then we also get Kristen Cole, Gawain, and their army. They now show up at Luigi's mansion. They're at Harrenhal. And lo and behold, there's Alice. And she's talking to him. And man, we get more sad sack Kristen Cole, this everybody's favorite nihilist.
This fucking guy.
Like, what's the point of any of it? I know we're just gonna die by dragon fire.
I don't Why even want to be around anymore.
Aemon said he was coming, and he's not even coming here. This stinks.
Go turn on some dashboard confessional. You'll feel better.
He needs it. He needs it. He also is like, he says his dad died of sorrow. I was like, oh my god, like you're heading on the same path. You gotta fucking straighten it out.
Every time I see him, I think like, let's say the Arrested Development with like George, like that, like just like the sad Charlie Brown one.
Yeah, just like every time you see Kristen Cole, it's just like,
hates me.
Yeah.
Allison doesn't want to do me anymore.
Yeah. She doesn't like it when I go down.
Nobody even wants me here.
Yeah, it's like
my dad's dead.
Just fucking Eeyore everywhere.
He is. He's fucking walking, talking Eeyore. Everybody else is like trying to have a time out there. Seize the day, little carpe diem. He's like,
Gawain's trying to like get him out of it. He's like, man, I don't want to be here.
Oh. And there's one point they're like sitting at the table. He just kind of like rolls his eyes at him. He's just like,
yeah. He's like, I've been stuck with this guy. He's like hooking up with my sister. And now I got to march around with him. And he's just like in the dumps. You're bringing everybody down. You're bringing the whole troop down. It's like, we could talk to a witch. That's fun. Let's talk to the witch. We're in a haunted house. Let's enjoy the haunted house. He won't even do it.
But was it them? They didn't know about King's Landing?
Yep. Alice told him about it. Yeah. She's like, Rhaenyra took King's Landing. They're like, wait, what?
Wait, what?
You guys are fucking useless. There's an army walking around, no wars to fight in, no battles. And so he's trying to cook up some kind of plan, I guess. But what is Alice, like, for the fourth straight week, what is Alice's deal? Is she just wants to live in Harrenhal?
Aemon has to be there, right? Like she has to have him stowed away in some random bed, like, and he's just seeing visions right now, right?
I would imagine. Yeah.
Well, she's the new like Red Lady, right? Like she's there, but she's like kind of. And I think she knows
she's cooking something
what she's
up.
Doing. She hasn't really revealed the whole thing to anybody yet, but she's like, I have a purpose here, and like I need to make sure. She's like the Doctor Strange. Like, I need to, oh, I've seen all possible outcomes and it needs to go this way.
Also, you know? It's like an interesting thing that it happened when we saw the, like the dragon seeds waiting for Vhagar to ambush him. And then like the stag, like dude looking thing appeared. And then she immediately appeared afterward. And then when Kristen Cole and the guy show up at Harrenhal, like a donkey bays, and then she appears immediately. So I wonder if she, I wonder if she's like shifting around.
She could just take the form of animals.
Yeah, kind of like what Bran does in Game of Thrones, like Worgen in and out, but like she actually changes instead of just like going into the mind of an animal.
So she's like a druid.
Sort of,
like it. She's got fast travel somehow, so she's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a funny story. So you guys might appreciate this. So my daughters have a friend now whose dad is a dungeon master, so he's trying to teach them how to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice.
And my daughter, Tess, became a druid because she read that one of the abilities that a druid has is it's to like do backflips.
Oh.
So that's all she does to start battles is backflips.
Hell yeah. Hype herself up.
Bit of a showman. Is what that is. Love
that. I like that. She's like, I just love doing backflips. I'm like,
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Alice, do you think she doesn't really have a side, right? Like I don't think she's on anybody's side. I guess maybe the one that would leave her alone in Harrenhal, but like, I don't think she gives a shit.
No, I think she's like connected to that place. So her allegiance is to like Harrenhal and and where that is, the land, not anyone else. Like she's trying to like protect that.
She's almost like the embodiment of Harrenhal. She's like, we just want to be left alone. Like everybody screw off.
Yep. Fair enough. All right, so we go back to Aegon here. He's kind of trying to like fit in because they don't know who he is, clearly. And they're just trying to like make passage. And then he's got to like do a job so he can have a place to stay and something to eat. And he's like cleaning up shit and he's like cleaning up piss. Then he ends up kind of challenging the guy. And then it's funny because you forget that he actually does suck. Like he actually can't fight. Like there's been plenty of examples where there's been like a knight or somebody that's kind of like down on their luck. Like remember like even Jamie Lannister, like when he like had like one hand and you're like, oh, he can't, you're like, oh, but wait a minute. He does have that other, like he can flip a switch and he is badass. And then you're watching this guy, and you're like, oh yeah, no, he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the dragon.
He's useless. Jamie Lannister like taught himself how to use a sword left-handed.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, and there was never a doubt that he would pick.
Yeah. You're like, oh no, he can do it. And like other guys, it could be all beat the shit and it doesn't like, they're just, but they still got it in them. And you're like, nah, there's no, does not have the dog in that dog in there. Not the dog in him.
No dog in there.
So now we got also go back to Rhaenyra's dragon riders, which this is also just a bit of a mess. And so now Hugh Hammer wants to go back to Tumbleton. That's where he's from. And he eventually gets to go there. You have fucking Ulf the White, who is just out drinking at all these pubs. And then he comes back and he's like, hey, can I ask you a few favors? And then he just wants to pardon all of his beer buddies. It's just like, this guy, he has some stuff, we're not gonna ask about that, but like also he wants to live tax-free, this other guy wants that. She's like, what is this? This guy's too much of a wild card.
And he goes, and she's like, you don't do that anymore. And he's like, we like pardon people. She's like, no, you don't drink in pubs anymore.
Yeah, just drink.
I have all the wine you could ever drink in the basement of this place. Like, this is where you drink now. And he's like,
Yeah, so this is as much as
we've like, can said, I trade my dragon back in?
He like doesn't want to do it. So like, as much as we were talking about, like we have no idea, and we'll get to Sheepstealer coming up. But like, we don't know what side Sheepstealer is really going to be on. I feel like you look at the three other dragons that she recruited. Ulf, who knows what side he's going to be on? Hugh Hammer, I think, would be loyal to Rhaenyra, but he's really loyal to his wife and to like his family. And then you have, Adam, who I think would be loyal to him too, but again, now that Corlys is kind of like out of the picture a little bit or not as close, like I don't even know how reliable all three of these dragons are to Rhaenyra.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason Rhaenyra is kind of like pulling Alan into the small council and stuff, is that okay, as long as I keep Alan close, Adam will also obey because he's not going to hurt his brother. So like as long as I keep one close, the other one kind of stays in tow.
Good point by King Torbjorn in the chat. Ulf is a huge liability. He's got to go. All right. The dragon is like super important. But because you have more dragons, can't you kind of start to see that like you can't rely on this guy? Like, what do you do in this scenario? If you're Rhaenyra, are you just like, hey, sweet, like you have the ability to ride the dragon, we could use you? or you're like, dude, I don't trust you at all. Like,
isn't it just like mutually assured destruction though, right? Like, you just keep him, you can have him drunk in the keep the entire time, but as long as the other side knows you have the dragon, like it's important. So if he dies, you automatically kind of lose that little bit of leverage, I guess.
If Ulf were to die like away from his dragon, is that dragon now just like a free dragon?
Yes.
Now, I mean, I guess you run the risk of somebody else taking it, I guess, but.
Well, we're running out of dragon riders, right? We're running out of Targaryens.
That's what it seems. I mean, yeah, hell yeah. That, like, last season, that's basically what it was all about, was just like finding all the different people that can like hop on board. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what you got. Let's see. Queen of the Bastards, as Davey mentioned, that's spray painted out there. So that's starting to get a little bit of play. All right, this is going back to Ormond now. Ormond, when he goes into Tumbleton, you're like, all right, this guy's kind of a bad guy, but he's keeping it kind of like straight laced for the time being. His guys are bad. The guy goes in there, he's roughing up a woman. He's getting like really physical and like over the top. And then he ends up getting presented in front of him. Like, so they stop it. They go up there, and then he's like, what happened? He's like, oh, he like tried to rape her and he like broke her arm. And then he's listening to it and he's like, all right, we'll do the same to you. Like, fucking cut his hog off, break his arm, and then like we'll keep moving. And you're like, oh, you're like, Jesus, like that's not what I expected. But that's also, as you later find out, it's exactly what he wanted. He wanted the people to think that this is what he was doing, even though behind the scenes he was doing something else. That was like a pretty great scene / like reveal at the end for Ormond.
Yeah, he's really kind of playing both sides. He wants the public image to be perfect and for the people to... It's kind of like the complete opposite of what Rhaenyra is doing. Rhaenyra is just creating chaos left and right and like doesn't know what she's doing, whereas Ormond is very clearly methodical in playing the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's having the other Targaryen?
Darren.
He's having Darren watch this whole thing. And now at the end, he's like, you do it.
So then he brings the guy in and they're all like, I thought you were letting him go. He's like, well, no, like he touched one of the Hightower people. Like, we're not going to let him go. Yeah. So they bring him in. Then he's like, you kill him. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And he's like, fucking kill him. He goes with a heart pierce. He like pierced the heart rather than like trying to cut the head off. Cause I thought we might get another Rhaenyra situation where he's like hacking at the head and like finally lopping it off. But he just goes like stab it. And then his dragon's sitting there and he's like, I'll light him up. He like torches him right after. So I was like, oh shit.
But that means he's going to eat him too. So now that dragon's got a taste for man.
Yeah. Oh, human flesh.
So,
well, and it's just also more evidence that Allison's like, yeah, I don't want him to be like Aegon, but like, well, you didn't train him to be any different. So like, if you wanted him to be different, like you needed to train him in the sword, like Darren or like Daemon or Aemon. Instead he's this like cowardly little nice boy. And now he just pierced some guy in the heart with a rapier instead of using an actual sword.
Yeah. Well, and again, it goes back to that point where like Allison thought that Ormond is like a good dude. Like by and large, like he's a little weird. He doesn't like the smell of things, but he's generally a good dude.
And she's like, oh, like Darren got to avoid all this. Like, I had to avoid this like Targaryen stuff, and like this was a mess. And you're like, and Ormond clearly only keeps Darren around because he's got the Targaryen name. He has a dragon. And then he can be the puppet master, like we've seen throughout Game of Thrones, where it's not even the king or the few times the queen that's really in charge. It's like the person right there. So Ormond sees it and he's trying to get that done. Now, another go ahead.
The question is he playing? Obviously he is, but my guess is he's playing the long game, knowing that like Aemon and Aegon.
Yes.
They're going to die. So now I have in my back pocket the next in line.
100%.
Especially because if Darren becomes the king, you know Ormond becomes the hand of the king. And then he is basically in charge.
Now it's just like when you marry him, like now it's like, you know, and I guess this was the plan with Alicent originally, is like the Hightowers get propped up, right? Because it's like this Targaryen rule has been going on forever, but like what's the next in line? Like what's the one that's going to protect them the most? So right back with the Hightowers, but Ormond would be in charge. Now, another curveball this episode is it looks like Helaena is pregnant. So looks like we're dealing with another potential Targaryen, another incest Targaryen, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
This must have been before Aegon got his cock blown off.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it must have
been, right?
Could have been after. Could have been. I don't think they have the science for that.
No, I don't know who it is. It comes
and
out
I don't think Eamon's in. I don't think Eamon's into his sister. I think he's just into his mother.
Correct. Yeah. I think it would have to be another Aegon kid. So yeah. Like Helena is pregnant, and so Allison was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" Like, because this would be another one that would be in play. So obviously Darren's the brother, but if some people still view Aegon as the king, now this would be a son of Aegon. So like
this would be the rightful heir,
son or daughter of Aegon, kid of Aegon. So. Oh boy.
I got to see a succession timeline here and see what the hell's going on. The hell is going on?
God damn, these family trees. Yeah. All right. So, Daemon, get some good Daemon in this episode, too. He's at the Vale. This is cool, too, just as a Game of Thrones, like going back to the original series. He's sitting right there by the moon door, which we know years and years and years and years and years and years later, we're going to see that moon door.
Little baby Robin boy.
Yeah, exactly. Just suckling on the teat right there. That's a young 13-year-old.
Love that breast milk, baby.
Yeah, good gravy. So Daemon's there talking to, I guess, a lady Aaron, right? One of the Aarons. And he gets a whole bunch of gold and heads out of there. And it's funny. He and Caraxes, Daemon's dragon, have like the best relationship, I think, in Thrones. He like gets on there and Caraxes is like giving him shit for like bringing the gold back. And he's like, this guy. And then he's like, he's all heavy about it. He's like, just be quiet. He's like, we're fine. And then they fly. And then one of the biggest scenes in this too is he finds Sheepstealer and he finds Bela. And she's been hiding out in a cave. And I guess I should have thought about this. We knew eventually... Rhaena and Sheepstealer were going to be found. Wasn't sure who was going to do it, and it ends up being Daemon, who is her father. Like something that's sort of been like lost in the shuffle here. It hasn't really been discussed much, but that's her father. He sees her at first. And he's like, Jesus Christ!
Which a great entrance too. You see the awesome. And you see like her like silhouette. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
That was so cool. Just a dragon in a cave, and then you're like. You can hear it, but you can't see it at first. And then you can
Caraxes kind of is like losing his mind.
Yeah.
Her mind.
Yeah.
She's like, let's
get the fuck out of here. But pretty amazing scene right here. And Daemon trying to be like, what? Like, we'll just tell her like it was somebody else or whatever. And like, you got to come back. Like,
you're supposed to be in Pentos with my kids. What are you doing?
Yeah.
We won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Just go. Just get out of here. She's like, I can't now.
So pretty interesting though. Like, I guess at least in that scene, you realize that like Daemon, as much as he's on Rhaenyra's side, in this case, he'd be willing to lie to her. You know,
which is wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you never thought like Daemon would be out for anybody but himself. And then maybe Rhaenyra second, but clearly maybe his daughters are actually important to him. Like there is a bit of a human side to Daemon more so than we thought before.
Right. Cause he's just of the, like, let's just fucking wipe everybody out kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she even says to him, she's like, when have you even like thought about me? Like his kids are kind of like an afterthought. Like Daemon, like, just wants power, control, fly around as dragon, torch people, light them up, that kind of thing. And he definitely wants Rhaenyra to succeed, but that's because he's there with her. So yeah, that was good stuff. And so she's a bit shooketh, as you can imagine. Sheepstealer darts out there, does not get into it with Caraxes, which I felt like was in play. I felt like they could have fucking squared off, but it didn't happen. Yeah. They're just like, go ahead, dude. Like, crazy ass Sheepstealer comes flying out of there.
Get out of here. Beat it, nerd.
Take a hike, dude. You're a problem. I heard about you. So then Daemon has an idea. He looks down and he sees some goats and he sees a dude, and then he's like,
just a Joey bag of donuts down there being like,
what? Yeah,
what he's a like lucky around, timing like, for that guy.
Like me? Guys,
yeah.
Although, like the double look over the shoulders, like, shit.
Let's be honest. He had like four goats and he was like 100 yards from Sheepstealer. That guy wasn't going to last.
He wasn't making it. No.
He was fucking toast.
I think she probably got fed to Rhaena.
Yeah, exactly. She would have eaten him.
The conversation is like, listen, I'm kind of doing you a favor right now. Yeah. Have you seen that thing that lives in that cave? That is a stupid thing.
Yeah. Might not even kill you right. He'd fucking like half burn you, then like leave you. Like, trust me, this is huge. You're really actually important to this story because I'm gonna go dump you on the queen's table.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then he goes back and he's like, I got the gold and here's the head of the guy. And he just dumps the head on there and they all kind of look at it. Okay. So Masaria clearly
asks him a very good question.
Yeah.
And then he hits him with
who
like
is that.
Listen. Yeah. He's like, it's the guy. And I think it was like, Rhaenyra is like, so wait, there was another like Targaryen dragon rider somewhere in the world. And he's like, listen,
yeah,
there's a head. Let's call it a day.
No more questions.
Yeah.
That's it.
No more questions, yeah. Your Honor. The defense rests.
And she's like, so what of Sheepstealer? And he's like, I don't know, like gone without a rider. And then my favorite line, this is my favorite line in Game of Thrones. And I think I want it on a t-shirt. It said, it is an act of madness to claim a wild dragon. And that's what Daemon was saying about Sheepstealer, which is like legitimately already true. It's already been proven true. And he's sort of like setting that up for like, if it's to happen again. So Masaria does not believe him. What do you think Rhaenyra thinks? Obviously, she's mad that she didn't get to kill Sheepstealer's rider for killing her son. But do you think she buys it?
No.
Yeah.
But I think she loves Daemon so much that like she's going to go along with it.
Oh, okay.
I think she believes. And I honestly believe that Masaria is not going to be around much longer.
Yeah, I think she's kind of
like, you are asking way too many good questions right now for me.
She's towing the line. Shyam, I could see it as like Rhaenyra's disappointed she didn't get to do it. She was in shock when it happened. Good job in that scene too, being like, holy fuck. I wonder though if Masaria like kind of whispers into her and then she starts to put two and two together about how like difficult it would be to find a rider and like especially for Sheepstealer and like what the... So I wonder if like over time, she's like, that can't be right. And then,
I think that's definitely a play. Like, Masaria sways her. But I think, like, in the moment, she's just, like, in complete shock. She's like, wait, so the guy's already dead? Like, I didn't even get to see the guy's face. It's just a burnt up head. That's it. And, but I think she 100% just believes and trusts in Daemon and knows that Daemon wouldn't, like, screw her. So she's like, okay, well, this has to be the guy then.
All right, what do you think's next for Rhaena and Sheepstealer? Like, she says, like, I can't leave. I was like, I'm bonded with him or hurt him. And I'm like, this is what we're doing now.
Oh, what this is 100% going to blow up in Daemon's face.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't. It's the same thing with the smelling thing in Ormond. Like, you can't just leave this here and then it just disappears. That's not how this shit works.
No.
Like, my guess is that, you know, some shit is going to go down in Tumbleton.
Yeah.
Bingo.
And Sheepstealer is just going to come in everyone's going to be like, what the fuck?
He's going to come in hot. He's going to come in like super hot. Yeah.
Like he's going to kill like Hugh Hammer or something and just be like, hey, it wasn't me.
Sorry, guys. I got really excited. I saw other dragons. I got really aroused. I just started shooting fire everywhere.
They were shooting people. I didn't know who they were just guns blazing. So I just. Trying to help.
I just came in and I started blasting. Yeah. That's it.
I just start blasting.
There was a there's like a Westeros ESPN account on Twitter.
I gotta follow that.
They were like, is Sheepstealer the biggest bust of all time? They were like, it was like one war, 600 kills, then retired.
What is that called?
It's like, is it Westeros ESPN or something? Westeros, there's a few good let's see, Twitter.
Westeros Central maybe or something.
Oh, mate, is it Westeros Central? I think it might be Westeros Central. Yeah.
Carlos Valerian, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. One promising rookie Sheepstealer has officially fled and retired from the Dance of Dragons. One career battle, 600 plus allies burned, one friendly fire on Crown Prince Viserys.
Yeah.
Will he go down as the biggest bust in the history of the realm?
Giant
He's
bust.
The Greg Odom of
Greg Odom. Yeah.
Greg Odin? Odom?
Yeah, Odin. Yeah.
Lamar Odom? I get him confused.
Yeah, Lamar Odom, Greg Odin.
Correct.
Yes,
they posted a picture of Magic Johnson, Larry Bird hugging, and it's like Sheepstealer cracks into the cave. You bitch, fuck you. it's so good.
God, the dragons are really like this show is giving you some sweet dragon action, even when they're just kind of like hanging out or giving you like a little sass. Like Caraxes giving Daemon sass this episode is just so good. And then Sheep Stealer, like the reveal that he was just in that cave, then he comes darting out and he's just like doing his own thing. And you're like, oh my God, this guy hasn't learned a goddamn thing. Oh, what else? Yeah. All right, let's get
they refer to Jacaerys Valerian as Christian Pulisic. 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals, 28 minutes.
Yeah. That's like the old, I think that was the old Tony Snell line that they would always, people would always post that one. The dude did like all zeros. Like he filled up the box score with zeros. All right. Last week, our power rankings were as follows. Number one was Daemon. Number two was Allen. Number three was Sheep Stealer. Four was Corlys. Five was Alice. Six was Ormond. Now, again, you can be really, really strong in one episode. You can not appear in a couple episodes. But depending on how we feel about it, we can still either keep you up there or move you down. So these are our rules, but we're gonna update it as the season goes on. Go ahead.
You put Ormond 2 and drop everyone else down.
I like Ormond.
I think,
yeah.
I think Sheep Stealer also comes up a spot. So I think like Allen drops a few, and it's like Daemon, Ormond, Sheep Stealer would be my top three.
Yep.
All right. So Sheep Stealer stays at 3, but he earned it. He was a good bounce back. So I would argue Corlys out. I would say this episode probably enough to knock him out.
And he would want it that way.
he basically did that in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. He does. Yeah.
Do you want to go Allen? Want to keep him in? Go from 2 to 4 or lower?
Because he's 2 to 5.
Okay. And then we still have Alice in there that was ranked last week. She was actually pretty good.
You know who?
So we have Daemon, Ormond, Sheep Stealer, blank Alice, or blank Allen, blank.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess Alice could stay in the top 6 because she popped up again and was creepy. She could be 6th. And let me toss a couple out there. Reyna popping out of the cave looking crazy and staying by Sheep Stealer. I think she could be a possibility. I think Darren showing up stabbing a guy.
Tessarion. I think Tessarion from last episode, they're like, that's not the motherfucker that I know. And then this week burning that corpse and clearly too, there was that moment where Ormond is trying to teach Darren and like almost goes to strike him, and then Tessarion growls in the back and he like stops himself. And he's like, he needs to recoup himself. So like, clearly he's still scared of the dragon. So maybe Tessarion slides in.
I like that because there is that. He's like, he's trying to tell Darren like not to be affectionate with that thing. Mm-hmm. And the kid's like, what do you mean? Like this thing's like bonded with me.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And that just sort of speaks to that whole storyline. So if Ormond is too. So yeah, I kind of like that. So Daemon Targaryen remains number 1, Ormond all the way up to number 2, Sheep Stealer stays at 3, Tessarion cracks the list is 4.
Because he almost cracked the list last time.
He did.
With just a look. Yeah.
And then Allen goes from 2 to 5, and then Alice goes from 5 to 6.
I like it.
I think that's pretty fair.
I think that's a perfect top 6, if I'm being honest.
I don't think Rhaenyra deserves to be on there. I don't think Alicent deserves to be on there. I think laying in the weeds is Helaena, because Helaena, we know, can ride a dragon, and we know that she also is one of those, like,
seers.
Yes, yeah. She's like a seer. So, like, she could get, and she's had a few one-liners in these episodes, too, like when she sees Rhaenyra and stuff. So she's, I think, knocking on the door.
I also think two other people kind of in the weeds here, I would say Missaria. Yep. With she's constantly creating chaos and getting in Rhaenyra's ear. And the other one, just because he's kind of a loser, Ulf, I would say, is just a total wild card. So I think he's also kind of waiting in the weeds here.
Definitely. And I would say
the Manderly guy, too. Watch out.
Manderly is a good one. And now that he's going to be involved more because he is the master of coin. And then is it Vhagar is Hugh Hammer's dragon.
No, that's Vermithor.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Vhagar's obviously.
Vhagar is with Aemond.
Big Verm. Big Verm is. Big Verm's huge.
Big Verm's huge. Big. He's the second largest yes. dragon after Vhagar.
So there we go. So I'm just saying, keep your eyes peeled on Big Verm making some plays. I like mm-hmm. I like the thought of Big Verm.
We get Aemond out of bed, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's another one. He always has a chance because he's a cruel dude. So he always has a chance to bounce back, but he's just been on ice for a little bit. So, all right, very good. We will update that top six. We will tweet that out. You guys can let us know your thoughts. Midway through season three of House of the Dragon, hit us up, dorkpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube as well. Any final thoughts, fellas, on this episode?
We saw our boy from the north in the next episode, the preview for the next episode. I think we're going to get a fight. I'm excited.
Oh, Rotted Ruin?
Oh, Rotted Ruin.
Yeah, yeah, we saw him in the preview, so I think we're going to get us a fight.
That's another guy I think we have to strongly consider for the top six, maybe after the next episode or two.
Oh, definitely. Well, after episode one, he made our podium. Back then, we were only doing top three, and he made that. And then so now we've expanded it to six. We haven't seen him since, but I agree. I think he'll be in there.
Now, I was reading about group of guys, right? And they're basically like, did you say this, Shyam? Like they basically told their families that they weren't coming back. It's like they know they're going to die.
Yeah, yeah. They were sent by whichever Stark is up there right now, like Cregan or something. And he's like, they're like the elite warriors of the North. And they're like, yeah, like we're not going home. We're just here to kill as many motherfuckers as we can. And if we die in the process, we die in the process.
Like, yeah, like that's what they don't want to go.
They're
home.
Nuts. Yeah, they're just nuts. They're like berserkers. They're just like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hope we get Roddy the Ruin versus Kristen Cole.
And have Kristen
Cole Roddy's like, what's the so point? Much. He's like, I'll tell you what the point is. I'm going to fucking destroy you. I'm going to rip your brain out of your head.
Inspires him.
Or you know, goes the other way. Yeah. He's like, I want to join you. Let me join you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So, we'll be back next week for episode 5 of House of the Dragon. All right, tell a friend, tell a dork. And if you're watching live on YouTube, jump over to our other link. Davey and I are going to finally review Supergirl.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We will talk about the latest DCU film there. In the meantime, Davey and Shyam, stay hard and stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.